I love maps. I've always enjoyed maps, ever since I was a kid. I liked looking at maps. I love the Google Map application on my phone, and every time I go somewhere, I don't just want to see where I'm going, but I want to see everything that's around there. When I was 12, I had the opportunity to go with my dad to Israel and to Egypt and to Jordan, a Holy Land trip, and it was awesome. And you know, I was 12 years old, and the thing I brought back was a map of the Holy Land at the time of Jesus. And along with my skateboarding posters that were in my room, I put that poster up, that map of the Holy Land. I love maps. Some of you have been in AAA office. They have tons of maps. And I love it. You get them and say, oh, here's all of New England, or here's the Midwest, and oh, here's California. I love maps. But you know, if I were wanting to go to New York City, a map of Chicago wouldn't help me, would it? See, you've got to have the right map according to the destination of where you want to go. They're not the same. A destination and the map aren't the same. And as we are casting a vision for our church, the vision is the destination. And we'll need a map. We'll need strategies. We'll need plans. We'll need ministries that will help us get there. But it won't do any good to start with the map, start with the planning and the strategizing if we don't know where we're going to go. And so as we talk about vision for our church, which is what I'm going to be doing for the next several weeks, and what I began last week, as we talk about vision, we have to remember we're talking about the destination. We're talking about the church that God wants us to be, who He wants us to be, what we're aiming for. And then, of course, it will be important that we take the next step so that it's not just talk, and it's not just a pen on a map, but that there is actually a roadmap. We do need to talk strategies, and we need to plan, and we need to think of ministries and facilities and all that kind of stuff. But it won't do us any good to try and start there. We need to start with the destination. And so that's what we're going to do today for the next several weeks. I introduced to us last week the church I see, the 5 points. And I'm going to reiterate those in just a moment, but those 5 points. But I want us to remember that this is the vision, this is the destination of where we're going. And what I'm going to do for the next five, counting today, 5 Sundays, is go through each one of these individually. But for some of you, you weren't here last week or you fell asleep during the sermon and you missed it. I wanted to quickly review the church I see. And when I say I'm just using that for rhetorical purposes. This isn't just me. This, you know, the elders were together and we all are on board with this. And many of you have already said, that resonates with me. That's what I want to see happen. But there's 5 key points to the church that we want to become. And I did frame it around this idea of the church I see is. And the first one is, the church I see is baptizing many new believers. Secondly, the church I see is experiencing the transforming power of the Holy Spirit. Third, the church I see is empowering people to serve. And fourth, and all of these pertain to Greenville in particular, but this one maybe even more than others, the church I see is multi-generational. And then lastly, the church I see is influential. And I will expand. I talked about all 5 of those last week, but in short, I'm going to expand on each of those. Today, we're going to look specifically at that first one. The church I see is baptizing many new believers. So before we go there, let's go ahead and bow our heads for a word of prayer, and then we will get into this vision and into God's word. Father, I thank you that you have given us this sense of calling as a church. You've given us a destination, the kind of church you want us to be, the direction you want us to go. Lord, help me to cast that vision clearly. Help me to speak it in a way that excites us and gets us motivated to do the hard work and the perseverance and the prayer that it'll take to see this become a reality. Lord, I'm thankful that the seeds of these things are already at work in our church, that we're not starting from zero, Lord, that you have already been doing great works here. But Father, we do want to see more. We hunger for more, and we believe this is the picture that you want us to pursue. This is the church you want us to be. Help us to get there. Lord, I pray that this morning the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts would be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Amen. When you're driving down the road, you often will see signs. I'm going to give you a little quiz on some of the signs you might see. Signs like this one. What does this one mean? All right, good. You're off to a good start. You got that one down. Although somebody once told me if it has, what is that, 8 sides, that it's optional. But, okay, no, I'm just kidding on that. So you know the stop sign. This is a sign that you're used to. How about this next one? What is this one? I heard somebody say speed up. Pedestrian crossing, yes. You don't get bonus points if you hit them outside the crosswalk or anything like that. This is telling you that there are pedestrians in the area and you need to be paying attention. Now, good luck if you know what this next one is. What's this one? As somebody said, an Ewok. I thought, are you going to see cartoon characters in the next 3 kilometers? I wasn't 100% sure what this sign was. Somebody said it's probably bears, but I just couldn't resist. I'm like, I don't think I've ever seen a street sign quite like that. It must be European. It's got 3 kilometers there anyway. But we know what signs are, right? We understand the concept of a sign. There's different kinds of signs as well. Did you know that in the Bible, God has given us a sign to show us the beginning of spiritual life, the beginning of new life in Jesus Christ? And the sign that he has given to us is baptism. See, baptism is a picture. It's a sign that indicates that somebody has come to faith in Jesus Christ, that they have repented of their sins and put their faith in Christ. And Jesus himself gives us this sign. So it's not something to just sort of cast aside and say, well, you know, it's only a sign. Well, if the stop sign is only a sign, then we're in trouble. The sign itself has significance and importance. Jesus, when he was commissioning his followers, saying, here's your job assignment, he said, going therefore into all the world, I want you to make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded. Baptism is commanded by Jesus as a sign that somebody has become a disciple of Jesus. So when we begin our vision of who we want to be as a church, we want to see people being baptized. Not because we want to make sure that they get nice and clean from in the water, right? Because baptism itself, the sign is just that. It's a sign, it's a symbol. But it is a symbol and a sign, it's an outward sign of an inward reality of somebody who has repented of their sins, come to faith in Christ, and is now a new creature. So baptism is something that we want to pursue as a church. We want to see people coming to faith in Jesus Christ. And baptism itself, that picture, it's beautiful because it pictures more than just getting wet. See, we call ourselves Baptists for a reason because we believe that baptism is an important symbol, an important sign, and we practice what we call believer's baptism, as opposed to maybe infant baptism. This is baptism for those who have personally professed faith in Christ. And the way that we do it is through immersion. Primarily, immersion meaning you go all the way into the water and come all the way out of the water. And the reason we do it that way is we believe that's the way we see it in Scripture, but also because of the beautiful picture that it gives us. Romans chapter 6, verses 3, 4, and 5. It's just one book over from Acts. If you still had your finger over there, you can turn with me or you can just listen. Romans chapter 6, Paul the Apostle, writing to the church, helps us see the beauty of this picture captured in baptism. He writes this. He says, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? And when you get baptized, you go down into the water. This picture of dying to self and dying to sin and being buried. We've been baptized into Christ's own death because he was killed for us, for our sins, and he was put into a grave. But then he follows it up. He says, we were baptized into his death. We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. And so the picture is one that goes down into the earth, down into the water, but comes alive, just like Jesus' own death and resurrection. It's this symbol, this powerful symbol. And so he finishes it off by saying, for if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. The symbol represents new life. Death to sin and a new life. And we want to be a church that is all about people finding new life. Now, the thing about baptism, we could have just said that, right? Church I see is a church where people are finding new life. That would have been good. It wouldn't have been any problem with that. It would align. But one of the reasons that I was motivated to say baptisms is because baptisms are tangible. You can count them. You can see the progress. You can know here is the mark. There's a leadership guru named Peter Drucker, and he has said if you can't measure it, you can't manage it. This gives us a tool to say, are we accomplishing what we want to do? Are we seeing people changed because we are seeing baptisms? And I think that that's a practical way that we can know if we're making progress towards the goal. Are we seeing people baptized? And so that's the first thing. What I want to do this morning on each of these, on this sentence, baptizing many new believers, I want to look at each word. And so we begin with this. The church I see is baptizing many new believers. How many of you like having lots of bills? Yeah, probably not too many, right? There are certain things in our life that we don't want a whole lot of. Bills is a good example. Pests like ants or cockroaches or things like that. You don't want a lot of those. Health problems. You know, none of us want to have a lot of health problems. But there are other things in life that we don't mind having plenty of, like money. I've not heard too many people complain, you know, my paycheck was too big this week. I better give some of it back. For many of you, grandkids. You can't have enough grandkids. Look at all those grandkids. That's Mitt Romney, I think, and so he's got a whole bunch of them. Another thing you can't have too many of, Super Bowl rings, right? Oh, well, it takes up your whole hand. It's too bad, right? So there are certain things you can't have too much of. I'm not ashamed to say I want to see many people baptized. Not just one or two people who are coming to faith in Christ. I want to see lots of people who are coming to faith in Christ. One of the awesome pictures in Acts chapter 2 is that as the church began and they started preaching about Jesus, a lot of people were responding. And so in Acts chapter 2, it says that in that very first day that Peter preached the first public message about Jesus after his death and resurrection, about 3,000 people came and were baptized. That's a good problem to have. See, I don't picture us saying, well, you know, we reached our baptism quota for the year, and it's only October, so we're not going to let anybody else get baptized. I want to see many people baptized. I believe that we want to see the lives that are changed and happening all the time, not just every once in a while kind of thing. And part of that is saying maybe we need to do more baptisms, but I'm not just talking about the ceremony, as important as it is. We want to see many people finding new life in Jesus Christ. And so that's the kind of thing I hope we have too many of. I hope we don't know what to do with how many. And it gets hard to schedule enough baptism services because we have so many people saying, I put my faith in Christ and I want to be baptized. So the church I see is baptizing many new believers. My parents have been in town with us for almost 3 weeks. They leave tomorrow, and I'm going to miss you guys. No crying, but I'm going to miss you guys. But while we were here, I took them one day into Boston and to show them the sights, and we saw the Capitol, and we had lunch in the North End, and we were walking around Government Center, and I had to laugh because there was a Dunkin' Donuts. You see those two right there? It's 0.1 mile away. You walk about 100 more paces, and there's a second Dunkin' Donuts right there. Right? I mean, so they're just on top of each other. And that's Boston for you, right? There's Dunkin' Donuts everywhere. And there's Starbucks, which I like. That's my next illustration. So they're right next to each other. Listen, why do I bring this up? Because I don't want to be a church that's just stealing other Dunkin' Donuts customers. I don't want to be a church that's stealing people from other churches. I'm not interested in seeing our church grow because people are leaving good churches to come to our church because maybe we're doing something new or different and like, oh, we got to go wherever that is. We don't want growth by transfer. We don't want to, if we're a Dunkin' Donuts, we don't want to just steal other Dunkin' Donuts. We'd rather steal the Starbucks customers. You know, it takes a lot for me to say that because I would rather be the other way around. I'm a Starbucks guy, but what I mean by that is I want to be a church that is seeing people who are not connected to God, people who are not connected to a church, finding Greenville and finding the life that God offers through this church and these ministries. So I'm not interested in transfer growth. We're hoping to see many new believers, people who didn't know God and were disconnected and were still enslaved in their sin, and now they have found freedom and life. We want to see many new believers, not just stealing people from other churches. And so as we go forward with this vision, that means we have to do more than just appeal to church people. We have to be proclaiming a message that has a relevance for people everywhere, especially those who are disconnected from God. So the church I see is baptizing many new believers. Now, we're not looking just for new recruits or new volunteers or statistics. All right, I'm not looking to be able to fill out the end-of-year report that says, look, we've got this upward trend. I hope we do, but it's not for the sake of statistics. And we're certainly not just looking for volunteers to fulfill our ministries or to get new recruits that will follow our agenda. See, I think this is important. We are not interested in slotting people into our program. We care about people. And we want to see people who are becoming believers in Jesus Christ. That's why we want to baptize many new believers, not just recruit many more people to sit in seats and to run programs for us. There's nothing wrong with programs. We're going to need them. That's part of the roadmap of how we're going to see this unfold. But I don't want to ever lose sight of the fact that it's people that matter. People aren't simply tools to fulfill our agenda. So we're looking for people who have come alive in Christ, who are believers. And you could say this in lots of different ways. The way it's said in Acts chapter 2, verse 41, it talks about, so those who received his word, received the message that Peter had preached about Jesus Christ. And if you grew up in church, you could probably spout out about 10 different ways to say somebody became a Christian. You know, invited Jesus into their heart. They were saved. They got redeemed. They gave their life to Jesus Christ. I'm not that worried about how we say it. I'm interested in the reality behind it, that people are becoming followers of Jesus. We are aiming for new followers of Jesus, not just more people in our building. And so at the heart of our vision is salvation. At the heart of the church we want to be is a church where salvation is proclaimed and received and embraced. And then, as we'll see next week, it has a life-transforming aspect to it. And so we want to be a church that is baptizing many new believers. Now, how's that going to happen? How will this happen? Here, I guess in a sense, this is a little bit of the map type of conversation, the strategy conversation. But I think it's necessary to just put it out there and say, look, if this is going to happen, we have to be proactive and intentional. And I want you to remember two words. I shared them briefly last week. I want to speak for just a couple more minutes on them. Two key words that represents our strategy, the heart of our strategy. Invest and invite. Invest and invite. Now, I'm not creative enough. I didn't actually come up with this. I heard this several years ago and said, that's so simple and so clear and yet so good. Invest and invite. And what do I mean? I'm not talking about your finances in this case when I say invest. Yes, we do. If we are part of this church, we have an obligation to give to this church and to the work of the Lord. But that's not the investment I'm talking about. I am talking about investing in people. That each one of us is called to invest in the people who are in our lives, who are around us, that God has put in our path, that we are to invest in them. We're to show them kindness. We're to try and help meet their needs. We're to encourage them and build them up. God has put people in your life that He wants you to invest your time and your energy and your talents into. Maybe it's people in your own home. Maybe you know people who are separated and far from Christ, and God wants you to invest more in them. He wants you to spend more time with them and more of your energy and your gifts serving them, investing in them. See, this strategy is dependent not upon a church staff, not upon a specific program. You are our growth strategy. If you will invest in the people around you, we will begin to see growth. You are our growth strategy. Just think about the sheer numbers. If there's 220 or so of us on a Sunday morning, if you're investing in just one other person, think of the ripple effect. And then if even only a quarter of those people were changed because of your investment in them, and then they start investing in people, you can see how this is going to multiply. So we need to invest, but we also have to make sure we get to the point where we invite. And what do I mean by that? I guess at one level, I just mean plain and simple. We should be inviting them to church. We need to invite them to experience what it means to worship with other people, to experience what it means to connect with other Christians, to experience what it means to hear God's word proclaimed, and to hear good news. And so we're investing in people. Maybe it's people you know from your kid's soccer team. I know that's one of the reasons I'm in soccer with my son, is because I want to invest in other people. But at some point, we also have to cross the line and say, am I inviting you? Am I saying, hey, we've got church on Sunday mornings, or we've got this event and I would love for you to come. We need to invest in people. And then at some point, we also have to make sure that we invite them. But I want you to see it even more inclusive. Inviting them to church, but also inviting them into a relationship with Jesus Christ. Because you are Christ's ambassadors. I hope to preach faithfully in such a way that if you invite people to church, they'll hear the good news of Jesus Christ. But at the end of the day, you're the best missionary possible. You're the best ambassador for Christ. So we need to invest in people, and then we need to take the next step and invite them into a relationship with Christ, or invite them to have a spiritual conversation. Invite them to explore what has changed you and your beliefs. So we need to be investing and inviting people. Now, I do believe as a leader and other ministry leaders in this church here in Greenville, we need to do our best to provide something worth inviting your friends to, right? Because it's fair to say you need to be inviting people to church, and then when they get here, you're embarrassed of what we're doing. So I don't want that to happen. Or you have a ministry and you just kind of do it a poor job with it and don't really show that it's important to you, and then you've brought a friend, and then it's just this bomb of something. Like, we don't want to do that. So we need to do our best to put quality into everything that we do. But even the best of quality won't work if you're not inviting people to participate in it. So we're going to strive to do things well. I want to strive to make things easy for you as well, so that it's something that it's not hard for you to invite a friend to. Right? If the first thing that you invite somebody to is a 12-week commitment, they're not going to come. That's not an easy step. So we want to do things that we can ministry-wise that make it easy for you to take that person to that next step, by inviting them to come and participate in it. And then, of course, we want to strive to have ministries that have an impact, so that if you've gone to the trouble of putting yourself out there and inviting them to church, and then it's easy, they're able to be there with you, that they experience the transforming power of God in those ministries, whether it's a Sunday morning service, or whether it's a small group, or whether it's a Globe breakfast, whatever it is, we want to do things that have an impact. Now, if we do that, if we see ourselves as missionaries, if we see ourselves as Christ's ambassadors, we're the ones who are sent, we're going to make a difference, and we're going to have an impact. And I believe it's going to show itself in people being baptized because they have given their life to Christ. And so the church I see is baptizing many new believers. And the two questions I want you to have in your head this week, really much longer than just this week, but I'll be happy for just a few days this week. You're asking yourself these two questions. Who am I investing in? See, maybe you've never even thought of it that way. You've never even thought about the fact that God has put people in your life so that you will invest in them. So ask yourself that question. Who am I investing in with my life? And then I want you to ask the second question. And this is where I feel more for myself. I can relate to this, and some of you probably can. You've been investing. You've kind of laid some foundations of some relationships and shown people you care about them. Is it time for me to invite them? Either invite them to church or invite them to a spiritual conversation to go to the next level with them. Is it time for me to invite them? See, it can't be just your pastor or just the elders or just the ministry leaders. You are the strategy. If we're going to see many new people baptized, it's going to be because many of us are investing in the people around us and inviting them to know Jesus Christ and inviting them to experience life together here at Greenville. So I hope you'll pray with me this week about who you're investing in. I hope you'll pray about, is it time for me to invite them? And I hope you'll pray that we see ourselves become a church that is baptizing many new believers. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you again for this vision, for this calling. Not just to continue with life as normal and put on Sunday morning services until the end of time, but to be a church that is pursuing, to be a church that is striving for, to be a church that is intentionally seeking to baptize many new believers. That there would be a surge of people because of our witness and our investing and inviting, a surge of people who are discovering life in Jesus Christ and the forgiveness of their sins and the joy of the presence of the Holy Spirit. May we be a church that is baptizing many new believers. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.